Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I am Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the MVP, Mr. Christopher Platt, reminding you all to make sure you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, chair shot t-shirt. We've got them all. We've got all colors. We've got all shapes and sizes. We got them all for the men, the women, and the babies, from 8 to 80, blind, crippled, and crazy. It doesn't matter. Make sure you join the movement and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Shalom. And always use your head.
We have got a myriad of topics to talk about this week, from Money in the Bank to things going on Raw to things going on SmackDown. There's just a lot of things in the world of wrestling to talk about on this week's Greg DeMarco Show.
Just straight punk bitch.
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere.
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Cause it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
What is up, everybody? It is Tuesday night, which means we are live with another edition of The Greg DeMarco Show. Barely made it in on time today, as I literally had stuff leading right up until showtime. But we are dedicated. We made it just in time, and we are very excited to be with you here today. You can find me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. The Greg DeMarco Show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find at thechairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And of course, you can use your head. Head on over to TheChairShot.com. You can read the articles. You can listen to the many podcasts we have. Have a lot of fun. And you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. You heard the commercial to open the show. Pick up your very own ChairShot t-shirt. And right now, they are on sale 20% off. Use the promo code SPRING. Everything over at ProWrestlingTees.com is on sale for 20% off. I believe it's the whole week, so head on over there. Type in the word SPRING as your promo code. You can get lots of freebies, including our shirts, including any other shirts like Baron Corbin Sucks, like the Suck It Nerd shirt. There are so many that you can pick up and enjoy. So here we go. So now we're going to get started. Patrick O'Dowd, by the way, doesn't seem to have his email, as he was just messaging me asking when the email is coming. So I'm going to have to get that over to him. So while I fix his issues, let's bring in my... Too many sound bites with your name on them to where I can't tell what they are.
Yeah, because that wasn't my song. But hey, I'll take it.
Of course you will.
I'm,
I mean, why
I'm
wouldn't
a,
you?
I'm in a good. I'm a good.
Shut up.
There.
Thank you. But I'm in a good mood. Lots of things are happening. You mentioned lots of stuff and things that we're going to be talking about today. And yes, I know we're going to wait, so I'm patiently waiting. But I have knockout moments for Money in the Bank. I have.
Yeah,
so,
I know you do.
So many.
I know you do.
So I'm not going to talk about it now. I'm going to save it for later. I'm going to be polite, but it was pretty much the greatest.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's listened to us should know that you've got things for Money in the Bank to be excited about. So that's
yes,
they should know that. But we'll get there. We will definitely get there. And we might even get there with Patrick. We'll see. I have to resend his invite. Oh, goodness, let's see.
We've got some issues.
Yeah, we do. Look, I sent it to him right there. It was sent earlier today. Let's see what he said. He deleted it by accident. That's what he did. He deleted it by accident, quote unquote. Yeah. Oh, no. He's so overprotective of his spot on the show. He would never do it on purpose. That's he's so afraid.
But
we lost Miranda too. That's good. That's exciting. So she was super breaking up, and then she was gone. So yeah, we're gonna work on that. So, cool. So Patrick's on his way in. Oh, it actually looks like Patrick O'Dowd might be here. So let's give him his proper treatment.
FABULOUS.
On the Twitter, it's WRESTLNGREALIST, and he's a happy boy right now. He's a very happy boy.
I am in a very good mood, yes, sir.
You sound like you're just thrilled, like you can't contain yourself.
Well, you know, it's been 41 years in the making, and it's a wrestling program, so. You know, I don't want you to cut me off when I go off on how happy I am that my St. Louis Blues made the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. So I was trying to be respectful to the show. Just doing that for you.
Yeah, but you can still be excited. Maybe you're just
tired. I'm excited as fuck, dude. I can't even tell you how excited I am. I'm just like, you have no idea.
That's what you need to do, man. That's how you need to. This is once in a life. We all get excited over things. Come on, dude. Well, here's how excited you should be.
Record that in an arena somewhere.
The first version that I found. Yeah, I drove to St. Louis, recorded in the last hour. No, I the first version I found, unfortunately, couldn't obtain through the means that I usually obtain a song for the show. Sometimes those things don't work. And so then the second version I got was that one, and at that point, that was what I had. So yeah, there you go.
Very nice. Well, thank you. I appreciate
Thank you would have been fine. Yeah, I was going to say thank you would have been fine.
No,
yeah, there you go. I think Miranda's back, by the way, because she said she could hear that.
Yes, I heard that was loud. That was something else.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, it was. Oh, so there you go.
And that makes me oddly appreciative of my own buzzer because that was pretty loud.
Really?
Made you appreciate it?
That
didn't
sound loud to me. Yeah, that definitely sounds louder.
Sound louder.
Maybe it was the bass of that.
It's all about that bass.
Yeah, it's all about the bass. I think that's where
no trouble.
Made my...
We'll be right back. your dumb mouth.
Yeah, I did pull it down a little bit at the end last time, so maybe that fixed it. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. There goes all the listeners. Sorry about that, everyone.
Nah, it'll be fine.
Wow, why are you hating on my team, Miranda?
I'm not hating on your team. I'm hating on the noise. You're hating. Hater, hater, hater. I was the first
one
to congratulate you. I congratulated you, and that means nothing to you, apparently.
Then you run, down Gloria. I'm just saying.
Not that, just that version of it with air horns in my ears, and that's just not a pleasant sound of that song. I'm used to, you know, hearing it in an elevator at my dentist's office, you know, just
right.
In a casual environment.
Casual, right.
How long has that been a thing for them? Because, like, when I was looking for it, all the coverage of it seemed to be recent.
Yeah, it seems like it's a relatively recent thing. I don't know when they really picked it up. I know that it's got traction this year just because we actually made a run in the playoffs. And, I don't know that it, like, it's our thing for hockey. We've been a snake bit franchise, so we'll take any little thing to keep ourselves going and keep ourselves happy. And so, you know, and every other team seems to have, like, something they play after they win, so this seems to be us.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's a hashtag, I see.
So, and I see that hashtag on your Twitter, which, by the way, is up to 412 followers.
Woo!
I know, right?
Good things are happening for you, Patrick. Good things are happening.
Yeah. Okay,
you know,
so let's do it.
I gotta tell you.
Patrick, go ahead. Before I
Well, I gotta
jump
tell
in.
You, like, I was feeling pretty good about myself after, you know, seeing some other folks who have less followers who think that more people listen to them. So, no, this is a true thing. Like, Greg can tell you, he was blocked by this guy. He knows everything.
That
guy. 100 followers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the guy who knows about him, too. That's the guy who told me that Raw has lost 10 million viewers in the last decade, which means 10 years ago, Raw had 12 to 13 million viewers, which is more than even watched during the Monday Night Wars. So, yeah.
Because math is hard.
Yeah, it is for this guy.
Numbers.
And not only that, when I told him that, I complimented him because his Twitter bio is all about his suit game, right? Suit game is great. So
right.
I said, your math skills have nothing on your suit game, at which point he got real mad at me. So, yeah, he was pissed off.
I know you don't care, but that Gloria thing is a recent development of this year, back in January.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, like,
there we go.
Totally,
yeah, so
this year,
like this calendar year.
Like the
you're
the
up to 412 followers.
I know.
You're at 412. That's cost for something. Miranda's still sitting at zero followers.
Right.
Zero.
And on Twitter.
Yes. Keep it on another streak. The streak is alive.
As I said yesterday, just stay off of it at this point. It's not worth it. It really
is. It's an ugly, ugly place. It really is.
Yeah, it can be vicious and ugly and sad, and I'm just going to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Well,
like, it should be worse. Oh, God, wrestling Twitter is the dog
wrestling
shit.
Game of Thrones Twitter
is trash.
You know, so many fandoms have intertwined, especially at once. Like, I think the wrestling Twitter and Game of Thrones Twitter, if they ever came together, would be like the Sharknado of Twitter communities.
You know,
it would just be one cluster of
Social media has been like the best and worst thing for entertainment. It really has.
It really has.
Like yeah. it's crazy because, you know, you look at, I wonder how, Greg, did you watch The Sopranos?
No.
Greg, Marina, neither of you? So,
no.
A lot of people talk about how great The Sopranos like finale was. I wonder, like, how that shit goes if Twitter's around when this, because, like, It doesn't matter. And that's why I caught that out of Twitter over the last 48 hours, basically since I got home from Money in the Bank, and reading like what people are going crazy about on Twitter. They just hate everything. Like, just.
They do.
They just hate everything for no other reason than to hate it. Like they,
for no
like
other reason than just, other people like it. Really.
Right, like you're crushing Money in the Bank, which was a pretty good show. But you can't really objectively say why you don't like it other than you don't like it? Like what? Because Brock Lesnar showed up? Like, and you like you want the people who aren't making money for the company to dominate the company? Like I was there. Like, I don't like Brock Lesnar. You all know this. The pop that happened when his music hit was deafening in that arena. Yeah.
So let's
deafening.
Let's, because I want to go out of order here because I think it's better to be chronological with these top. No, it's
fair
okay.
Enough.
I actually want to go out of order, so you're doing the right thing there because you were at Money in the Bank and you were there for Brock Lesnar. So let's make sure we set the stage for you properly.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and I serve as the advocate for the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar!
Brock. So you were there. You were there when Brock came out. You saw the reaction, and so tell us. You are our man on this. You are our correspondent at Money in the Bank.
Right.
Tell us about Money in the Bank. Just whatever you think is important, because we all know what happened.
Sure. So there were a couple of things that I thought was important. One, I ran into there was a family of four behind us with two kids. And just for funsies, I turned around and asked the parents if I could ask their kids a question. And I'm serious. And their parents were like, yeah, sure. Like we'd had a couple of like conversations just sort of sitting around the arena. So it wasn't like I just like walked up on them. But I just looked at the kids. I was like, who are you here to see? And Greg, guess who they were here to see? Guess who the girl was here to see?
Roman Reigns.
The girl. No.
Bayley.
Bayley. She was there to see Bayley.
So here's the thing. I just want to point out, I suggested Bayley before Miranda did. Think about that, Miranda.
Right.
You should feel bad.
Shameful. Number two.
I thought it was a trick question.
Who do you think the boy was there to see? You said
Roman Reigns.
Bayley.
No, he was not there to see Roman Reigns. Who would be your number two?
Becky.
No, big time merchandise seller. It's men.
Kofi.
Seth?
Kofi, the New Day. Specifically, like, without hesitation, they were Bayley and the New Day. Number two was Roman Reigns for these kids. Well, and it was funny because I kind of smiled and was like, thank you. I'm going to share your story on a podcast. And it became more.
And they were
like, more
salient. Security.
No, there wasn't at all. but we when we talk about this product, like that's the audience, and they like AJ Styles, they liked Seth Rollins. But that's not who they were there to see. That's not. Guess how many pieces of Bayley merch that little girl walked out of. Because I saw her come up from the thing.
I'm sure.
Four pieces of Bayley shirt. She had like the Funko Pop, the shirt, like a headband. Like she had the whole deal. And that right there. And there was I retweeted a thread today that was really good from our friend Amy O. That was very similar about this. Like the WWE wants that experience. And what's that kid experience. Now, they also sold a ridiculous number of $75 Money in the Bank plastic briefcases.
which Miranda can tell you, those things are garbage. Like,
they are
garbage. They're the cheapest made
they
thing.
Are.
Like, we saw them
so
at the Rumble thing, and I picked one up, and I was just like, and I think there they were cheaper than that. I think there they were
well,
50.
Yeah, they were like $50.
There were multiple types of briefcases at Money Bank. They had the white briefcase, they had the green briefcase, they had the blue briefcase, and there were some that were $50. And I know the $75 one because the friend I went with bought the $75 one.
He should have given you $75.
Well, I know. Like, saw it, like when he brought it up, I was like, oh, let me take a look at it. And the first thing I noticed is I hold this thing. I was like, this is some shitty ass plastic.
Uh-huh.
And somebody dropped $75. And multiple people dropped $75 on that Money in the Bank briefcase. Yes.
Probably.
But it cracked me up. Like when you looked at the overwhelming amount of like people getting merch, it was parents getting shit for their kids. And the shit they were getting for their kids was those people that we don't love or wish we'd have more done for, but we'll never have more done for because of what they bring to the table outside of what you see in the ring or what you expect to see in the ring. And that really stood out. And then, yes, as much as I hate the guy, Brock Lesnar was just over like Rover. Like, that music hit.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, holy shit, Brock Lesnar's here. And yeah, the rest of the arena is just losing its goddamn mind. You know, the other match that was really a big highlight was definitely Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, but for different reasons. And yeah, I mean, I had a great time. I thought it was a great pay-per-view. It was a lot of fun from start to finish. Bayley cashing in and winning the title also went over huge, big time. So just, you know, it was fun. It was a great experience. I'm glad I went. Seeing those spots live is always a little bit more fun. It's always a little weird when you don't have Michael Cole in your ear, like yelling at the top of his lungs about like reacting to the spot.
Right.
But on the whole, like, it was great to sit there and watch that pay-per-view, get mad at people chanting CM Punk, which, right, yeah, that happened. That was the thing that happened.
I didn't hear a ton of it on the broadcast, though. I'll say that much.
It didn't last very long. I think the other sad attempt were these young teenage, early 20-ish young men trying to get a Super Dragon chant over.
What?
And like, why?
That's the whole thing.
Like, yeah, Super Dragon? Like, why? So, but yeah, great time, lots of fun. And the people you IWC folks don't want to see on TV, they're the ones that are going to be on TV.
As they should be. I mean, Brock Lesnar is, you know, I said it in what I wrote on Monday and what I recorded. He's box office Brock, and that's, you know, we go back to the Royal Rumble. No one sat down from the moment Brock Lesnar walked out to the moment he was done. Like, that's just
right.
He brings that aura that no one else has.
And it's a testament to a lot of fans wanting surprises. You know, they want that constant element of surprise. That was a surprise. Like, no one really predicted that or could have. Like, no one just in their right mind would have thought to put that together. So I remember just like almost yelling, like, oh my God, like, this is happening. When I heard that music and him coming down, it just all came together really, really well. And, you know, I think it goes back to fans asking for something, but then complaining, well, that's not how I wanted it. Well, you know, shoot, what are you going to do about it? You want surprises and then you get a surprise, but I didn't want that surprise. You know, what do you want? What else do you want? And if honestly,
they don't know.
This is a great, yeah. Well, you're right. I think there's an element we can articulate things that we don't like. We don't like, you know, Brock Lesnar. We didn't like that he had the title. But then when it comes to something that could really work, it's very challenging to articulate why you don't like it.
It's true. No, and then you just people complain. And then if you complain about something for no good reason and someone challenges you, what do you say? Well, that's my opinion.
Yep.
And I'm like, great.
Can't be wrong.
That's what I tell people. You can hate the product. You just can't use ratings to back it up. So before we get into a topic that we didn't even plan on talking about. Right. Yeah, 12 million viewers. With, you know, I lost my own train of thought. It's okay. No, it's just a million things to talk about with Brock Lesnar, with everything else. But something else happened. But before we do, you know, we got little things we got to get in on the show. So let's get this one in. played that song, Miranda?
Yay, because Bayley won the Money in the Bank, the Women's Money in the Bank, and she cashed in to beat Charlotte Flair to become the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Ugh. Doing it like a day.
I was like, you didn't sound excited at the end of that.
I was thrilled. I mean, I know that technically I did not pick her in my predictions because I thought that WWE is going to go in a different direction because of the way that they have booked Bayley for now years almost. But I was thrilled to see how everything came out. And I did mention last week how I liked longer Money in the Bank holders, how I wasn't a fan of Alexa cashing in at the on the same night last year. But I thought the way that they did that was really, really good. It showed this element of Bayley that became a little bit more opportunistic, like someone who's finally just watching out for herself. And I just got all the feels for it. I was just really thrilled on that. And the crowd reaction. I was just ready to tell Patrick, tell me about all the Bayley chants. Tell me about how much people really were, you know, there for Bayley, because I think that this was such a turning point for her, and everything just seemed to align in that night, in those moments leading up to cashing in, the crowd reaction, all of it. I loved it.
You did.
Yeah, I loved it.
You really did.
Yeah.
You did love it. And we knew you would. I mean, how couldn't you? How couldn't you love it? So Bayley cashed in, which you did not pick in your picks for Royal Rumble, or for Royal Rumble. Listen to me, for Money in the Bank.
I'm a jaded wrestling fan. Let's you know, I mean, we talk about wrestling fans here and there. I'm a bit jaded. I understand WWE is going to do things in their own way and time, and was surprised by kind of the switch from Alexa Bliss to Nikki Cross for some reason. Still very confused about that whole partnership, but that's neither here nor there. But I did, and, you know, we have our favorites. You know, you didn't pick Mandy, Greg.
I didn't. Nope.
Patrick didn't. Craig pick Carmella. So I mean, why are you adding me with all this? You know, I know my family.
Because Bailey's your girl. What are you talking about?
Because Bailey won. That's the only reason why.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Whoa. How dare you say that? Carmella won.
Greg be questioning me.
If Mandy won, you guys be questioning me. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, you're mad because Bailey took out Mandy and Sonya. Get to this case. So I get it. Just you know, I'll let all this simmer. But Bayley, I mean, was, and I guess it's weird to say was, but there no longer is. It's was Money in the Bank, and now she's, you know, your SmackDown Women's Champion. So I thought it was, well. It could have been bad. Again, I was not a fan of the idea of cashing in on the same night, especially since they last year. But the way did it with almost Bayley listening to the crowd and kind of this turning point of, I have an opportunity now, why not?
They did it very well. They did it well within her character, and they made that work where she could be opportunistic but still do it in a babyface way because she's kind of the ultimate babyface. So it did make a lot of sense. I thought it was very well done. You know, the fact she it made it look like she never even considered cashing it in. Now, she ran to the ring to make the save, still holding the briefcase, and why would you do that if you weren't going to cash it in?
Well, it's your briefcase. You just won it. It's like a new toy. If I had that briefcase, I'd be taking it around everywhere as well.
You can't just leave that thing lying around.
You can't just leave it lying around. Very true.
Like,
no.
Especially in the WWE, where they just kind of make up rules as you go. Like, Bayley leaves his contract sitting around somewhere, and Mandy, like, picks it up, and, like, then suddenly Mandy's got the money to make briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
24/7 rule in the briefcase.
Right.
Yeah, they could definitely do that.
The law and all that stuff.
I mean, you're just talking like the IWC, saying that WWE just makes things up.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
It's not like they would just randomly make something up one day because they want Roman to appear on Raw. They wouldn't do that.
Right. No idea how that works out. I mean, it's not a conspiracy, though.
I was going to save this little take for a different show or Driving with DeMarco or whatever, but I'm just going to put it out there. 3 weeks in, I don't think the wild card's that bad. I think it's actually pretty entertaining.
Not.
for the lead to eventually the end of the brand split. Because at this point, there's so much crossover happening, even though it's, only four at a time, which eventually that's going to grow to six, which eventually it's going to grow, and people are going to stop keeping track. I think it's going to mean the end of the brand split as we know it.
They can't end the brand split because Fox and NBC would never go for it. I think it's going to lead to a redoing of it, to be honest with you. I think this will all – the last shakeup was just terribly done. And it's just, you know, it probably looked way better on paper than it did in execution. And I think they're going to at some point toss it all up in the air and redo it, probably in October, probably on Fox for the SmackDown, you know, sometime around when SmackDown debuts. Because Fox and NBC Universal are not going to want to share – talent whatsoever. They're going to want exclusive talent that you can only see on one of their networks. It's easy now when both shows are on USA. So it's going to be tough, but I think it could go on till then and do that. But, you know, sometimes they throw things against the wall to see if they work. And before we transition to the next thing they've thrown against the wall to see if it works, the week after the pay-per-view, Miranda actually has the pay-per-view standings. And so we can find out where we all stand.
How far I fell.
Yeah, Patrick already had a little bit of a prediction, but Patrick did have the least amount of correct picks with four, followed by Elisa, who had five correct picks. And we are at a tie for Money in the Bank. Myself
really?
And Greg have six correct. It's a tie for the individual leader for this particular pay-per-view. However, for the Battle of the Sexes, there is a clear winner this month. And that is the lady. Myself and Elise Marie had a total of 11 picks, while Greg and Patrick had 10.
So it's still really close.
Still very close. But, you know, in the Fast and the Furious, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, you win.
That's right.
That is true.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I wouldn't quote it if it wasn't true. So, yes. Right now, the ladies are leading.
So I guess are we going to do the – are we doing Super Showdown? I don't even know. Like,
I don't want to because I refuse to watch that show. Like, fuck that show.
Okay.
You don't have to watch it.
I don't want to predict it.
Okay, so then we
like
won't.
I'll predict it. Like, I'll shit on every match and I'll shit on that show, but I'll predict it. Like, I won't watch it. I don't care. But I'll do it for you, Greg.
I mean, honestly, we shouldn't pick it because it goes against everything that I've said about the show being a glorified house show if we then pick it like it's a pay-per-view.
Which, by the way, I got to tell you, you want to talk about a promo that got booed out of the building last night? Both times that they ran the commercial for the Superstar Showdown, booed out of the building.
People were just putting too much into that. People worry about those cards. Shows way too much. Like, it's just.
It was just fascinating. The fan, like, I mean, nothing got a more negative reaction the whole night of the arena. Like, it was fascinating to me. Like, that commercial.
That almost worries me. Like, we might get a KSA heel or something. So.
Like,
so.
It's nuts. Just the concept of the show.
We could just skip Showdown. That's fine. That's
yeah.
Glorify house show.
That's right.
Anyway.
Glorified house show. We won't worry about it, Patrick. Okay. We're not going to worry about it. It's all good. It's all good. But what we do have, so fast forward to Monday night. Because even though you said last night, you meant Sunday night. Fast forward to Monday night. We do have some changes afoot over on Raw. As they did two major things on Raw. The obvious one is they introduced the 24/7 championship. And I won't even share my thoughts, although some people may know them already. But what do you guys think of the 24/7 championship? We'll let Miranda go first this time. Thoughts on the new belt, the new idea, the new concept, the execution, whatever you want.
The belt look is kind of weird. It looks almost like a toy belt, and I get it because it almost then is reaffirming that it's kind of a throwaway belt because it doesn't have a kind of almost the size. I'm not even a big, I mean, I don't hate the color or, you know, the circular logo or anything. The size of it reminds me of almost like a child's cup. So I feel like if they're already devaluing it a little bit by having it kind of a smaller size. I thought at first it was a pretty ridiculous, but the more I've thought about it over the past day, it does seem, and some of it I think was talked about by Mick Foley or just later on in the broadcast, that anybody could, you know, get this championship, this 24/7 championship. So I feel like it could create some really interesting one-off stories. And if it truly is anyone, it could be, you know, they said Legend. It could go to NXT. It could go to 205 Live. And eventually, maybe somehow a woman could possess this belt. And I think that would be perfectly fine as well. So it does provide one belt that rules them all, which is kind of a weird thing to say now that I say it out loud. But, you know, I don't necessarily now hate, you know, the whole concept based off of the fact that it could go between brands. And it's almost like in TV when you have crossovers, you know, this belt would help get, you know, some wrestlers and some programs crossed over. But the design I'm kind of not a huge fan of. And the comedy, I think it just took the best elements of what the hardcore title was, where, you know, it could happen anywhere, and took that element into now more of this PG era, where it would be less about the hardcore element and more about the comedy of it defended anywhere at any time. So, I'm still meh on it, but we'll see.
Patrick, what do you think about it?
I fucking love it. I love it. And I love, look, if you watch SmackDown today, you got to watch why I fucking love it. Because you get to see people shine on TV who weren't really doing anything anyway in a way that's damned fun if done right. And, you know, giving that belt to Ron Killings, R-Truth, to kick this whole thing off and having him run around SmackDown today in a blonde wig was gold. It was fun. It was hilarious. Carmella, he carried Carmella on the back, running with her through the stands. I'm okay with this. I think it's fine. I think it's fun. I think, Miranda, one of the first things you said that worries me, and this is the problem with some fans, when you start talking about the value of a title, there's no value to this title. There's not supposed to be value to this title. We're not supposed to talk about this title and the prestige of the 24/7 belt. Just like we weren't supposed to talk about the prestige of the Hardcore Championship.
No, it was never.
We just all loved Mick Foley so much that people got all insulted and butthurt. This is such a great way to just have something enjoyable happen. To watch Drake Maverick wandering around trying to get a shot at the 24/7 belt. To see the B Squad and like all these other guys who don't get to play, you know, get much airtime in the ring trying to find R-Truth. Give this to me on a weekly basis. Give this to some fun guys. Eventually, I think Greg's going to have some fun when Jinder Mahal wins this thing and runs with it and is unhindered with the 24/7 belt. I think that, you know, when Zack Ryder wins it, when Mojo Rawley wins it, when all these people win it at different times, you know, it's fine and it's fun. And I think as long as it doesn't feel played out, it's going to stay fun.
Really
on the guy with the ball.
Miranda said, you know, about when, you know, a woman winning this belt, and I did a bonus
Carmella.
Edition of Driving with DeMarco. I think a woman wins it sooner rather than later, like, because they don't do intergender matches, but you can, I mean, a woman won the hardcore title more than once. Trish won it. One of the Godfather's hoes won it. Like, cause it doesn't have to be a match. Like a woman could have won it on Monday. Like when R-Truth took out Robert Roode, Carmella could have pushed him out of the way and pinned Robert Roode herself and been the 24/7
champion. I'm waiting for Carmella's cat. Like, she's going to win that belt from R-Truth. I feel like that's where the story's going at this
Hell
point.
Yeah, she She earned it.
You know, keep your friends close or your enemies close and your friends close type of thing or whatnot. But yes, I could see that happening really quick.
And R-Truth wouldn't be mad if she did. Like, that's the thing, right?
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I love that he called it the European title. Like, yeah. That was great.
In fact, if Carmella beats R-Truth for it, he'll probably start referring to it as a 24/7 tag team championship. So it's just so much potential with this. Look, if you want to be entertained, like both of you guys mentioned, go to Drake Maverick's Twitter handle and see the stuff that he was doing. But then notice the pinned tweet where it talks about his lifelong dream of wrestling at WrestleMania. This could be his ticket to that. Like, this is probably the only way he gets a match at WrestleMania, to be part of some huge match for the 24/7 championship. So I have zero issue with 24/7 championship whatsoever. I love it. I think it's great. It's comedy. It's supposed to infuse an element of comedy into the show. It's accomplishing exactly what it's supposed to accomplish. I have no issue with it whatsoever. I love it, and I want it to continue. So it's, yeah, I just, you know, yeah, the belt's ugly. I think the belt's supposed to be ugly, to be honest with you.
Right.
Like, I think that makes it even better. The hardcore championship looked like garbage.
Everyone's fighting over something that looks so ugly.
Like, yeah. you get to say you had a title reign in the WWE.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's the idea behind that. Like, people wanting to chase that and go after it is that idea of just holding a title in the WWE.
You literally get to chase it. Like, they're
right.
Literally just chasing it.
The hardcore belt, though, I don't see longevity. And I understand there maybe is the point is that there's no longevity, but then, you know, how do you present this belt, and then how long does this last? How long does this go for before it?
But Miranda, you just mentioned it early in your argument when you talked about this belt could show up on 205 Live, it could show up on NXT, it could show up on SmackDown, it could show up on Raw, it could show up at house shows. People are gonna get pinned in hotel rooms, like. I don't think that – I think that this could be around for a while. Is it going to be around forever? No. But, I mean, the hardcore title lasted years.
It lasted 4 years. I looked it up.
4 years.
It lasted 4 years. 1998 to 2002.
When you think about that it lasted that long. And then it'll go away the same way that the hardcore title did. Somebody will eventually just be like, no more hardcore title.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
no more 24/7.
It makes perfect sense. Exactly, no more 24/7.
Baron Corbin's going to win the title, and then he's going to say, yep, I retired the 24/7 title, just like I retired Kurt Angle, just like
I would. I would love that. I would eat that for breakfast. Hell yeah, yep. Do that. Book
the longest
that.
Reigning, the Paul longest Bruce reigning Richard, hardcore champion
that,
or 24/7 champion of all time.
Right.
Yeah.
But I they'll, you know, occasionally there'll be a real match for it. The Hardcore Championship, it basically peaked. Yeah, we had all the Foley stuff, but it basically peaked at, you know, Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy. They wrestled for that match in a ladder match. They wrestled for that belt in Invasion. So it,
right.
You know, and looking at the history of the Hardcore Championship, it had its downtime at certain points where it didn't show up all the time. It wasn't defended 24/7 as much. And they, you know, it's really had a lot of different things in its history that we don't even think about all the time. You know, Bradshaw held it. It was the Texas Hardcore Championship. Dreamer put a license plate on it. Like, all these things that I only know because of Wikipedia right now. So, you know, it's out there, and it's definitely something that has some value to it. But Patrick mentioned the value of the belt in response to Miranda mentioning the value of the belt. No belt is worth anything in wrestling these days unless the story dictates it. And in this case, they've placed a tremendous amount of value on it because so many people want it because it's the easiest thing to get a shot at. And that's what makes it fun. I'm completely down with it. I think I love it. I think it's great. To me, someone like Tunney today asked me, when did I think a woman was going to win it? And I was like, probably before SummerSlam, maybe before, you know, Stomping Grounds, which is the end of June. Like, I don't think it's going to take to me, I want to see when a non-wrestler wins it. Like, when is Pat McAfee going to be the 24/7 champion? Or Charlie Caruso? Or a referee? Like, who wins it first, a woman or a referee? Like, that's what I want to see. Yeah, Charles Robinson. Yeah. Drake Wirtz, which all of a sudden is a referee on the main roster now, and he's been involved in more of this. I think he should be the permanent 24/7 referee to the point where he's tired because he can never sleep because everyone needs him to ref their thing. there's so much potential in this for comedy and right. for a spot that just works on the variety show that is WWE. The other thing that we haven't mentioned, the biggest difference between the Hardcore Championship, which ended in 2002, except for a sporadic appearance here and there, after that, and now, is the WWE's use of YouTube and social media. Like, this mm-hmm. thing doesn't have to live on the TV shows only. This could change hands at a house show, and they could, you know, immediately put the footage up on Twitter. Like, this can become a thing. And in this day and age, the way the media latches onto things, this can become a really big deal. The belt could basically, quote-unquote, go viral and become a thing, more so than it could have between 98 and 02. So, I think it's interesting. What do you guys think about that? The fact, you know, taking that concept, 24/7 concept, and merging it with how the WWE presents their product, basically 24/7.
I mean, I think it makes sense. Like, I think you nailed it. Like, there's really no reason why they shouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason
yeah.
you shouldn't.
With and that they kind have of so much programming, like you said, and like, you know, we talked about earlier, could go across any brand at this point. So yes, that could be a way to bring people exposure to a new brand, like, you know, NXT UK, that I think that still many fans aren't really familiar with, or, you know, if they want to bring people into 205 Live, or, you know, I'm sure as much as there's, you know, contention around it, it's going to show up at Superstar Showdown, and, you know, it's going to cause lots of hilarity over there as well. So there's lots of ways to, again, kind of do crossovers.
That thing could change hands 50 times during the Battle Royal. Like, so much potential for this thing to happen. Like it could change hands during the Royal.
Don't give him any ideas, Greg. Don't give him any
ideas. All the ideas. All of them. They can have every single one.
That's literally all of the ideas. A match within a match. Within a match. It's like Inception.
Mm-hmm. It's Inception, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm pretty sure that a Hardcore title has changed hands during a Royal Rumble before. But I could be wrong on that. It could just be my idea that I want to be true. I don't know. Patrick's a Royal Rumble expert. He'll find out for us someday. So.
No, I don't think that has happened. Not during a
You're
Royal Rumble
right.
match.
You're probably right. Then so there you go. New idea. New idea for the future. Title changes hands during the Royal Rumble.
I want to look it up. Like, now I'm like, Royal Rumble results.
Here's a funny thing, and I wouldn't put this past the talent like R-Truth to do it. Watch this thing change hands in a Vegas parking lot this weekend. Like, during Double or Nothing. Like, you know, the show that we're not even talking about, the last podcast before it takes place. But that's I'm just going to go there then, because this is the thought I had earlier today. Don't you feel like Double or Nothing should have more buzz than it does right now?
Yes, but Brock Lesnar.
Where's that conspiracy theory? Where's that, you know, conspiracy theory that WWE is doing these things to hurt Double or Nothing the week of? Because they've done a lot this week, like a whole lot.
I also think it's part of our attention spans, too, to be honest. I think we're just more of this go, go, go culture, and we get news every single day about something, you know, that's so monumental. A week ago, it was about, you know, AEW being on TNT and then being on national television, how it could change the landscape of wrestling. And then just a few days later, you know, Brock Lesnar, you know, wins Money in the Bank, and everyone, you know, just completely changes to that. And it just, I think we just shift so much because we get so much news that we gravitate or just grasp on one or two pieces that we either really hope it's true or hate or whatever it is, and it completely diverts our attention away from, you know, the big picture. So, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It definitely has taken away from it. So let's talk about something else that we'll forget in a week from now. And not hopefully not. It depends on what WWE does with it. They made a lot of changes to Raw besides the 24/7 championship. And the biggest one is you know, visual, which you can see. They presented this third hour in a completely different manner to where They changed the lighting scheme. The stage was basically almost blacked out, except for a little bit of white, a little bit of red. The ring apron went from red and white to red and black. The video boards around the arena went to full red and black. And Mick Foley kind of referenced it in his promo. And God, that promo should have been so much better than it was. But that's even Foley himself said on Twitter that he did not his best work, that promo. He said he just didn't have it last night. But they seem to be changing the presentation of hour number three. And was it apparent to you guys? Did you care? What did you guys feel about the change, the kind of that shift in hour three to make it at least look different?
I mean, I heard the Silk Stockings music hit because it was Raw After Dark. And no, just kidding. Yeah, I think that it was a very interesting sort of subtle adjustment. Like, I mean, subtle, not subtle. Like, I mean, clearly you could see that there was something afoot. You know, I'd be interested to see if this really does turn into this, like, this late hour, this last hour turns into something a bit, I don't know. You kind of commented on it when you were responding to kind of the type of work that you were seeing done during the Money in the Bank ladder match or Money in the Bank pay-per-view. In terms of just almost feeling a little bit, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, like stronger, harder hitting.
Yeah, I said more physical.
Yeah, physical. Yeah, I think that's the way. I'd be interested to see if the cosmetic change leads to a content shift that just becomes more pronounced over time as they kind of ease that in.
Yeah, I feel like they have. Like, I thought Money in the Bank was more physical. Raw was more physical. What I saw on SmackDown was more physical. Look, the attack Dolph did on Kofi. Like, we haven't really seen an attack like that in quite some time. We haven't even gone to Dolph yet, but we will. Just a lot of just a shift in the product. And I think we shouldn't be as surprised as we are just because WWE reacts to things. They react to the buzz and – you know, I think it is no mistake they're doing it the week of Double or Nothing. And it's just interesting to me that they're making this shift. I also thought, you know, everyone talks about and Cage Side Seats, God bless them. They did an article and their response was, you know, Raw's reaction to ratings is to dim the lights during the third hour. And that's what's wrong with wrestling journalism, by the way, is the fact that that was a headline. But if you really look at Raw, they did something that was very Attitude Era-esque, and it wasn't what people automatically think of as the Attitude Era. But one thing the Attitude Era was very good about was the last hour of the show was set up by everything that took place before, and it was primarily a two-hour show back then. But this Monday on Raw, the three major things that happened in Hour 3, the 24/7 championship revelation by Mick Foley, Miz versus McIntyre, and the tag team match that was the main event with Seth and Kofi versus Baron and Lashley, it was all built throughout the show. And the third hour kind of felt like a culmination. And that's not – they haven't been doing that, at least not with the whole third hour recently. But this third hour definitely felt different. And I feel like even on commentary, they'll probably start hyping Hour 3 more, and I could see this shift. And from a ratings perspective, it's only 1 week, but – Hour 3 lost less viewers than it has in the past few weeks. And it's hard to tell that, you know, with a one-week sample size. But, you know, last week, Raw lost 19% of its viewers from Hour 1 to Hour 3. This week, it lost 14%. That's a big shift. 5% is a big, big shift, bigger than people think. Now, even though Raw was 4, 5, and 6 this week, all 3 hours actually drew more than last week's all 3 hours. But so ratings are weird. But, I mean, it's – you know, it had some form of effect that you can actually put your hands on. Now, does it maintain? I don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. But I feel like it's a shift, and some people disagree with me that it's not a shift. And I don't, you know, who knows? Do you guys feel like it's a shift? Is it just an anomaly and reading too much into it? Where are you at with it?
I think there's definitely something to calling it a shift. I think in some ways, too, with some of the production choices with the lighting and kind of going through the all black and kind of giving it a darker look too is also kind of an aesthetic. I think just looking at it from a bigger company standpoint, many companies now are looking for sleeker designs, whether it's in their logos or whether it's in their products. And so I think that that has carried over to WWE with, you know, when they redesigned both the Raw and SmackDown logos. But I think especially now in the production, that is starting to come up. And though they just implemented it this week, I think it's just a pattern that they've probably seen for a while. And whether today, you know, this week was just the week or it's been planned for a while, I think that that's you know, something that I think made it look, you know, really more interesting. And going back to kind of the feedback that we hear a lot of, you know, make it more about wrestling and really focus more on the wrestling. That's what they did. They really pulled away some of the big lighting and the cappiness and you know, all of that to focus. It made it feel more like it was focused on wrestling and even the storyline continuity. So, you know, whether it's all these subtle changes that happened at once or maybe just people's eyes are now more open because of all the things happening. But I do think we see this continuing for a while.
I think that I'll go to what we talked about when we talked about whether or not, you know, what was happening with ratings was a trend worth panicking over. It takes more than 1 week to actually be a trend. And so I think it's the next 2 weeks that are really going to tell us if this is a narrative direction that the WWE is taking. I think if we go next week and it's more of the same, then you've got your answer. I think that the one thing the WWE does pretty well is they recognize when they're successful with something and will cook with it for as long as they can. So it would not surprise me at all to see this continuing to be a trend in a direction. Like once they take it, Vince is pretty good about staying the course. So that's my, yeah, I think that next week will tell us a lot more than just 1 week.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a very good point to make, and I think that's, you know, if you're throwing stuff against the wall and see if it sticks, we got to see if it sticks. I feel like it sticks, but we'll see. And it could be a wee, you know, maybe it's not as cool next week, and sometimes you only get short-term gain out of things. Who knows? But yeah, it's just an interesting time in the product and a time for a lot of things. You know, when we were at the Royal Rumble back in January, somebody showed up that kind of surprised everybody at number 29 in the Royal Rumble. That same somebody showed up on SmackDown on Tuesday night. I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
Take the fish.
And Patrick, we used to have the Ziggler tracker on this show, and like
we did.
And I had to re-upload the song. Like I didn't even have it anymore. That's how long ago it's been. And we just begged and begged for Ziggler to get an opportunity, and it, you know, eventually just it kind of abandoned it. What I'm more surprised about with this Ziggler return is a lot of people aren't happy about it. A lot of people are reacting as if they don't want to see this.
And fuck them. And that's fine. I'm done trying to understand fans. I'm done. Because this is a guy that fans have begged and pleaded for to get his shot, to get his push, to get his thing. And he's going to have a match, you know, at the Superstar Showdown. And we're going to piss all over it. Like, we're just going to piss all over it. Like, guy's been out. He doesn't even get the return pop. Like, we're just going to piss all over it. Boo Dolph Ziggler, which tells me a couple of things. One, it shows you how effectively our friends at the WWE have killed Dolph Ziggler to the internet community when they don't like him that much to react the way that they do. So, you just fuck them. Like, I'm happy that Dolph's back. I love the guy. I want him to succeed. I think he's always been content with where he is on the card and what role he gets to play. You know what? I think it's funny that people were calling him whiny. I think that was one of the things I saw on the Twitter is we're going to call him whiny because he pointed out that he gets denied he doesn't get the opportunities other people does. You know, it's true. Like, because that's what heels do is they talk about the truth. So, I don't know, Greg. I was fine with it. And fuck all of them. I'm excited for them. I think that him and Kofi can work really well together. Oh, see, now I'm done. Like, I was done.
Well, I wanted to wait till you were done. Like, I tried to put that at the end of your stuff. That's when you ran. I like it too. I don't understand. Like this is. I mean, Ziggler was a favorite for a long time. Because of his last heel run, he kind of went away from that. And I think people are done with kind of the start-stop pushing of Dolph Ziggler. I think, like you said, Ziggler's happy with his position. Look, none of us know Dolph Ziggler personally. Like, none of us have ever, you know, I don't think any of us have ever met the guy, ever talked to the guy, ever asked him. Even if we did, we don't know if he's going to tell us the truth. Several years ago, his brother came on this program and told us he's happy. Now, I don't know who I should try. Should I? Miranda wasn't here when Riley Pierce was on our show, when Ryan Nemeth was on the program. Miranda, who would you trust more? Random IWC Twitter user or Dolph Ziggler's brother?
I mean, you got to go with family. Family knows family. So unless it's part of a bigger conspiracy where his brother's in it, but you know, that's for a later theory apparently. But no, I mean, if his brother says he's happy and that he's content, then he's probably happy and content. There's no reason for his brother to say anything otherwise.
And it's like Patrick said, they're going to put on a great show.
Right.
It's going to be entertaining. Like, this is what Dolph does. And maybe we go into this longer form in the future, but here's what struck me as I was making one of my many chauffeuring trips this evening before the show started with some family obligations. Wrestling fans on Twitter love to talk about an off season. Give talent an off season. Give talent a break. Well, Ziggler's basically the model for that at this point, and yet here you are shitting on his return. Like, this is what it would be like if wrestlers were given their own kind of personal offseason and we rotated it because we can't stop showing broadcast because we have TV contracts. So if we rotated talent in and out, you'd get this a whole heck of a lot more. And this is not necessarily a great argument for that, given the response of the community, right, so to speak. I loved it. What I saw of it, and I'm going to go back and watch it tonight so I can write about it, but I thoroughly enjoyed the way that it has returned. Because much like Money in the Bank on Sunday, nobody saw Ziggler coming back. No one saw it. And if you're WWE and you're trying to command attention this week specifically because of Double or Nothing, they obviously trust Dolph Ziggler enough to use him in that role on SmackDown. So it's just surprising to me that people have such this reaction to it when we used to beg for Ziggler in the past. Beg for Ziggler. I mean, that his cash-in is one of the most beloved cash-ins among so many people ever. And here we are today booing this man because he attacked Kofi Kingston, which is the desired reaction, too. That's the other thing. People are supposed to hate it. So, you know, maybe WWE's toying with their emotions yet again, as they tend to do. So, good stuff. I mean, we've kind of touched on everything at this point. Like it's you know, anticlimactic ending, but we don't really have anything else. Like we've hit it all. You know, I don't think there's anything else to really.
Because we're really just packable. That good.
We are.
Yeah, just be proud of what we do.
Oh, I am. Trust me, I'm definitely proud of what we do. So, yeah, Pat, are you still at 412? Let's look. See, when in doubt, just look at Patrick's Twitter. Like that's.
Oh, it's still there. Hold on. None of the bots have been removed yet.
That's good. We'll Twitter will hang on. And he is at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WRESTLNGREALIST. There's no I in wrestling, but there is an I in realist. There's also an I in Patrick, by the way. But that would just confuse you on the Twitter handle. So let's get Patrick to 415. just small steps. 415.
Hashtag Patrick 500 is too much.
We'll get there. It's a marathon,
yeah, we'll
not
get
a sprint.
There. I mean, it's buzzy. It's great. It does great, you know, in on the product. But yes,
yeah,
realistically, we will get there in more of a process in a ladder way.
415 by next week. 500 by 2020. That's the goal right there. And maybe the end of 2020. We'll see. But 500 by 18 months. So that's a long time. But
we'll get there.
That's
someday.
We'll get
one
there.
Day.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
We'll play,
now, are you
we'll
even going to go to bed after
this?
Or are you going to be celebrating your hockey victory after this?
Here's the thing is, I'm not going to lie. I gotta get up early to work tomorrow, but I may have recorded the, like, NHL postgame show and the NHL channel, like, overtime on ice show that just plays a repeat for hours on end that I can just watch tomorrow morning. But, like, I want to celebrate. You know, this helped come like bring the adrenaline rush down a little bit because I was a little pumped after we finished the game at 10:30. I'm gonna try to crash, try to call it
right.
We'll see how it goes.
You can do it. And of course, Miranda, we're going to record your show, so we're not really going anywhere. Which Miranda has commanded a specific name for the show this week, so that will be in effect here shortly. And yeah, so listen out for that over the chairshot.com. Miranda's not on Twitter. I'm at Chairshot Greg. We definitely want you to listen. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate all the positive stuff people say. If you say the negative stuff, we don't care. This is our show. It's how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Ducky, ducky, quack, quack.